Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery, code Wondery.
There's a lot to say when buying a new home or car, but only one thing to say that can help you protect them. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. And just like that, a State Farm agent will be there to help you choose the coverage you need, no matter where you are in life. When you need coverage options, your State Farm agent is there to help, on the phone or in person. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 344, Course of the Force. Our second annual lightsaber relay run for charity, a partnership with Lucasfilm, which last year started in Santa Monica and ran all the way down to San Diego leading up to Comic-Con last year. In July, it went incredibly well to the extent that this year we are starting at Skywalker Ranch up in Marin. And we raised a bunch of money for Make-A-Wish last year. So if you go to StarWars.com/Course of the Force, sign up for our run segment, come celebrate the days leading up to Comic-Con, run at Comic-Con yelling out of celebration and joy, put on a costume, pass a lightsaber down in quarter-mile increments, and help a good cause. It's fun. StarWars.com/Course of the Force. Join us. Our pace vehicle is a Jabba the Hutt sail barge. So, I don't know why you wouldn't want to run behind that. I would like to thank for sponsoring this episode of this podcast, Squarespace.com. Squarespace is the all-in-one platform. It is fast and easy. You will create a professional website, blog, portfolio. Now, an online store if you want to. There's new commerce solutions that allows you to instantly create a store and start selling products, whatever it is. It's powerful. It's flexible. You and your website are going to give your users the best mobile experience. There are templates, mobile-ready templates. It's fast. It's easy to use. Exceptionally well-designed. There's great customer support, 24/7. It's an all-in-one platform integrating all your website needs, domains, design, development, commerce, hosting. Sign up for a free account. You're going to get a free trial if you go to squarespace.com/nerdist. There's no credit card needed. Just try it out. Start building the website. Then if you decide to purchase it, use the offer code NERDIST4 and get 10% off your first purchase on new accounts. This includes monthly and annual plans. Don't forget about free domain name registration, and that's for annual plan customer subscriptions. Squarespace.com/nerdist. Use the offer code NERDIST4. Everything you need to create an exceptional website. This is a hostful podcast. This was recorded about a week ago. I haven't slept for like 2 days because someone decided to have crappy weather in the Midwest and a lot of flights got canceled. And so some people didn't sleep. So whoever decided to create the shitty weather in the Midwest, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, atmosphere. Thanks for being a dick. But I feel okay now. I'm in Madison, Wisconsin. I'm doing some shows. Skydart's here, hanging out in Madison, which is a cool town. Yeah. I recommend it. Sort of like the Austin of the North or the Bloomington of the slightly farther north than Bloomington. It's just a good town. I like Madison a lot.
And it's gonna snow.
Not a fan of that. It's What's up, snow. Weather? Being a dick.
It's awesome.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. Stop being a baby.
Snow's I'm not awesome. Being a baby. Babies like snow.
What? What is that logic?
It's a medical fact.
Is that true?
I just follow science that I made up in my head.
Baby statistics.
I like baby stats. The only way that it would be... that it would be dickier that it were snowing as if actual ice dicks fell from the sky.
Don't look up and open your mouth.
Now we have to start the subreddit ice dicks.
I'm gonna go to sleep.
This is what it's like to get into bed with us at night.
Yeah, let's go to sleep.
Can I have sex with you in my dreams?
That's up to you.
Oh, I can't wait to come in your dream tits.
Wait, what?
What? Oh, shit.
Jesus Christ.
I just realized something.
What?
Your mom listens to the podcast.
She's gonna love this so much.
Sorry, Cass.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Waiting for Matt and Jonah. Going to the bathroom together.
What's up with co-hosts going to the bathroom in groups? Co-hosts know what I'm talking about. Where are they? Come on, guys. Pee it out. Do it. Jeez.
Matt and Jonah. Matt and Jonah, Matt and Jonah.
Here come the Nerdist boys, the Nerdist podcast boys. They walk in the room and they are filled with less pee.
Away, 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 away. Come on, everybody, come and do that tag. I know you can't stand it any longer.
See, that's where I thought you were going first, but then you went into hot, hot, hot.
Yeah, I know.
No, no, to, yes.
No.
Hot, hot, hot.
Yeah, Buster Poindexter.
Buster Poindexter.
From the New York Dolls.
The New York Dolls, yeah, I know.
New York Dolls on Palladium. There's a live show they did from maybe a couple years ago. And they can still do it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
It was Morrissey started the fan club in England for the New York Dolls.
He did?
Yeah.
Makes sense.
How is Morrissey doing now? He was having some
miserable now.
Here come the Nerdist boys. They are walking in the room.
You ever tell you about like, living in Hawaii, I think it might have been my senior year or the year right after. And I found a mixtape, just a random mixtape in my car. And I put it in and it was this amazing mixtape. And I started asking all my friends whose it was, and it was nobody's.
Was it Morrissey's?
No, but like there was like a, it was like I hadn't really heard much of the Smiths at that point, and like it had the like an if a ten ton truck.
There is a light that never goes out.
There's a light that never goes out. It's on there, and I was like, oh fuck, I love this song. And then there was all these just really good songs, and Replacements, Slater Kinney. I was like trying to find out who's. And all the songs kind of were like really sweet and kind of lovey. And I couldn't find out whose it was. And I listened to the shit out of it.
Oh, I really thought this story was going to have a wonderful button.
Oh, it's life. It's life. So it doesn't. Most of my stories don't.
Take me out tonight.
There was a girl that was really into me.
I was hoping there's Matthew and there's Jonah
and there's Matthew and there's Comedy.
I was hoping there was going to be like, I was going to find the girl Honda. Whose tape it was and be like, is this yours? She's like, yeah. So I go, me too. Me too.
I got my iBook repaired once, like in 2005 or something like that, and it came back with a rap mix CD in it that they insisted was mine, but it wasn't.
You like hip hop?
And it wasn't bad.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's not a bad CD.
There's a guy that's been submitting. I don't even think it's him submitting. I think he just like has this automatic blast that go out to radio stations and podcasts and stuff like that that's been submitting to Jonah Radio. His name is Cocky Streets. And, the last email he had, the title, the subject heading was #I will not let you down.
Yo, my streets dick is big, yo.
Yeah, cocky streets.
Cocky streets. I like the Smiths. I saw Neil Finn of Crowded House play at the house of Scott Aukerman, and I went years ago and saw, because he's a big Neil Finn Crowded House fan, and Johnny Marr played with Neil Finn along with I believe... Wendy of Wendy and Lisa.
Oh, nice.
And or maybe it was Lisa. Shit, I can't remember. Anyway, but
Wendy from Wendy and Lisa, and Lisa from Lisa Lisa and the Cult Jam. And someone from the Cult, and someone from the Jam.
Lisa Lisa and Cult Jam.
Members of the... No, you misunderstand. Yeah. We're not Lisa Lisa and Cult Jam. It's Lisa of Wendy and Lisa and Lisa Loeb and the Cult and the Jam. What is so difficult to understand about that?
That you call yourselves a super group.
Lisa Lisa and Cult Jam. And then they still sing I love you from head to toe. Anyway, Neil Finn covered There's a Light That Never Goes Out with Johnny Marr, and it was fucking awesome.
Johnny
Marr just released a record. It's very good.
Yeah, it's very good.
Yeah.
So it's the new Depeche Mode album's pretty good too.
Oh really?
Tom Lennon just got the Johnny Marr signature Jaguar.
Nice.
We were jamming at his house.
What do you guys play when you just jam?
We're playing some Smiths and some U2. Tom likes his music a particular way.
Yeah.
And I'm on board. Whatever.
Yeah.
Plugged into Les Paul. Had a good time. I was just watching Lisa Loeb music videos in my office because I had somehow stumbled upon a pop-up video link, and then I saw Lisa Loeb. Oh, I was watching the Rembrandts because I was watching down a sketch we did for the Nerdist TV show, and then I was like, oh, for some reason I just decided to check that out. And then I looked at the writing credits of that song, and it's... all the executive producers of Friends wrote the song.
Wrote the Rembrandt song?
Yeah.
Oh, what? My God. Did the Rembrandts even get royalties off that then?
They do, because they're co-writers.
Oh, okay.
Oh, fuck.
But, I mean, brilliant.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's...
fucking
it's
brilliant.
Yeah, yeah. If you have any musical skill at all, you should get a writing credit on a network television theme song, because...
Kelsey Grammer,
fucking Danny Elfman, yeah, like any of it just because it'll pay you forever. Oh,
as the shows that a hit. Did all the like TGIF? There was a guy that made like he did the Full House, Family Matters,
Step by Step,
Perfect Strangers. Yep. Perfect Strangers is like one of my favorite opening theme songs.
Did you see the Bronson Pinchot does the weather video?
No,
it's fucking funny. He has a new show, I guess. And so he was doing, I did the same thing like six months ago.
Is it the Bronson Pinchot project where he's fixing a house up on HGTV?
Yes. Yeah. So he jumped up and started doing the weather and started going in a really dark direction to the point where they were like, cut his mic off.
Oh, shit.
But it was really funny. Like, he was genuinely funny.
Oh, that's cool. Remember when he would relax by tearing pieces of paper in the Langoliers? It sounds like Rice Krispies.
Yeah. Cousin Larry. Cousin Larry.
He's from Meepos.
Meepos.
Remember when Cousin Larry had a cold, but he had a date, and so Balky made this village cure, and Larry drank the entire bowl, and Balky came back with a spoon and said, "You just drank enough for an entire village." And then 3 days later, Larry woke up.
Oh.
That's how the crowd sounded at the end.
Oh.
Standing tall on the wings of our dreams.
That Flash game.
Rising.
Did you play that Flash game, Perfect Strangers Flash?
Yes, it was great. Hilarious.
Oh, the running thing? Yeah.
It's just...
it's great.
It just matches the lyrics. It makes it enjoyable.
I'm so thankful for the internet in those cases when those types of things happen.
Yep.
I'm usually thankful for the internet.
My horses.
I just came up on my shuffle today.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yep.
It just tastes like raisins.
Shut up, woman. Let's see.
Shut up, woman. Get on my horse.
I think it's...
that's dirty.
Do you think so?
Well, let me tell you where the lemonade is made.
Sweet lemonade. No. You never heard Amazing lemonade. Horse? You really never heard Amazing Horse? You've never seen the...
It's a looping Flash video you can go to.
Look at my horse. My horse is amazing. It's just like...
It was really popular for a week 3 years ago. You really don't know this. I can't believe you.
No, I don't.
You were the lemonade. It's me. Sweet lemonade. Sweet lemonade. Sweet lemonade.
Yeah.
And then the horse just plays this part on the keyboard that pops up.
Really current, guys. Have you heard of this Gangnam Style? I really think it's catching on.
Oh, God. Who had the fucking... Someone had a great tweet, and it was... can't remember who it was, which sucks because I like to credit them, but it was I'd have to say my favorite Psy song is Gangnam Style.
Oh my God. We're done with the Nerdist TV show for now. Well,
we're still in post.
They're still post, but,
yeah, but we're done with primary.
Yeah, principal photography.
Principal photography is done.
I mean, we don't have to book any more guests for it. The shows are done. The sketches are done. The game.
I'd say, and I don't know if we brought this up on a podcast yet, but these shows are good. They are like it's a lot better than I think that what we were doing beforehand.
Well, we were just trying to figure it out before, and we sort of figured it out, I think, just in terms of structure of the show. The show's an hour.
And
we have time
Matt
to breathe.
There as a full-time staff member, I think.
Matt producing and
writing and stuff.
And writing and driving a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it was good. It was good to be in there to get our voice on the show.
Well, it's always weird when, like, you know, you're busy and then you come in and you're like, oh. And it sucks because, you know, there's like a whole team of people that put in a lot of work. And you're just like, oh, you just didn't get it. I wish I could have been here to write it before, you know, you stacked it up.
It worked out. It really happened to work out that Attack of the Show ended, and then this was starting up, and I was able to go on full time over there and sort of be the voice of us in the room, which worked out. It really worked out because I think we nailed it.
Yeah, it's a good 10-episode run.
I think so, too. Yeah, you never know if people are going to watch a show or not.
Games that we came up with crack me up.
My favorite one is Doctor Who villain.
Men's Cologne.
Icelandic Rockman, yeah.
Good game.
But I liked Gillian Jillian or Gilligan.
Yeah. That's an enjoyable game as well.
That was pretty fun.
I can't wait to see everyone with their YR pants tattoos.
YR pants.
Space episode, yeah.
Is that the next episode?
No. That's 207, I think.
What's next?
Next will be
Kirkman and Rooker, the zombie episode.
And then three, I believe.
It's John Hamm and Betsy Brandt.
And then four,
I think, is either Joseph Gordon-Levitt or Elijah Wood. One of those two.
God damn that Elijah Wood. I want to be his best friend so bad.
He's so funny and great.
Loves
horror movies.
I'm pretty sure we are
his best friends now, right? That's how it works.
I asked him if he wanted to hang out, and he said yes, and then he ignored me when the cameras were off. But, you know, I think it's like a bit we do.
Yeah. Well, you know what this means? You show up at his house with cameras, and then he's going to be a restaurant.
I think so.
I can't wait to record DVD commentaries for those episodes.
That's going
to
be so, you know, in this scene, we really wanted to capture...
Could you imagine?
Guys, 10 years from now, when we're at the Museum of Television and Radio talking about
the successful run. The Nerdist Paley Fest?
Yeah.
We're at the Museum of Television and Radio, just closing up.
We all swept nicely.
Hey, you there, with the broom. Didn't you used to be on the Nerdist?
You there, with the robo-levit broom.
Yeah. Oh, me? Well.
I like you've aged 40 years in 10 years.
Dickie Crickets, is that you?
Wow. You know, I haven't heard that word in a long time, ever since the robots took over.
One time I was known as Jonah Ray.
Yeah.
That was a long time. I have scars.
They run deep.
Yeah.
Billy
the Kid.
Did you guys watch Doctor Who? I watched it.
I haven't watched it yet.
Oh.
The Bells of St. John. Lots of fun Easter eggs in there.
Yeah, and it aired the day before Easter.
So there were literal Easter eggs.
There were literal Easter eggs in there. And thank you to everyone who watched the Talking Dead finale. It is the most watched thing I've ever done in the history of my career in television. It's like 5.2 million people, which is crazy.
Crazy.
We beat Game of Thrones by like a million people. All the shows on cable that are like big shows, we're like double those.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And more than a lot of the networks. It's fucking nuts.
Wouldn't that be funny if Talking Dead started getting more viewers than Walking Dead?
That's never going to happen. Walking Dead had like 12.8 million viewers, which is also insane. And like, for people who don't know how. Like, the audiences those size just are not that common anymore in television.
12.4 million is just a hair less than like a 1999-2000 episode of Friends would have gotten.
Oh my gosh.
I know that thanks to pop-up video.
Pop-up video.
Brick. So thank you to everyone who watched that, and it's
you're welcome,
it's nice.
Chris, I love you.
It's nice. It's nice. I
no,
would
you're
be lying.
Nice, Chris.
I would be lying if I were to say I didn't
you
enjoy
never
the
lie.
Shit out of that.
How was the?
Chris, we love you.
How was the finale?
It was fun. It was great and sad. Like there were things in it that I did not see coming. There were
I was a bit glad about a death or so
characters in there that I did not see coming.
I'm fine with one of the deaths. We can talk about it as
people. Yeah,
we're talking about characters. We're not talking about your best friend.
No, I'm saying spoilers.
Yeah, but you just said it. Great. Now we can talk about it.
No, but we can't.
How long can we wait? When can we talk about it?
Well, it shouldn't be within a few days.
When can we topically discuss? When is this going up? We have another Hostful in the Can that's got to go up first, and then this one.
Well, I don't know.
So
you need to fight with the internet about the spoiler rules.
Yeah, sure.
Not me.
Well, give me the fucking Nerdist Twitter handle.
Hey,
I'll
man, if I had the ability to see every movie that's coming out and get online and spoil it for people, I'd fucking do it.
Oh, God.
I'm going to spoil movies that haven't even been made yet. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get the scripts and I'm going to put them online. I'm going to highlight the parts that are going to fuck them up.
Spoiler talking Jonah.
Here's what I'm going to do.
Spoiler talking Jonah.
Yeah. Here's what I'm going to do. You're going to be deader than.
That would be so fucked up. Just as a guy just who chaotically goes around and tries to spoil everything ever.
I was going to say, I was about to like go into a riff about like it's like being at a video store, but that doesn't make sense. Go to video stores. Oh, Godfather? Huh. It's going to be really interesting when the guy wakes up with a horse head in his bed.
No, why would you?
It doesn't really spoil anything. Thank you.
Well, no, here's the deal. It happens because he doesn't want it. Oh, Sixth Sense? That's cool. Guess what?
What?
Turns out Bruce Willis is dead the whole time.
What?
Now, here's the real spoiler for that. It's the only good movie he'll make.
Hey, Unbreakable was good.
Hey, you're right. I know. I just wanted to make that joke.
No,
Unbreakable is good.
Each one of those films was about half as good as the one that preceded it.
Yes, the diminishing returns of I'm Night Shyamalan.
Yes. So Unbreakable, I think, was half as good as Sixth Sense, which still made it good.
Yeah.
The Village. Oh, no. Was Signs or The Village?
Signs was next.
Signs.
Yeah.
Signs, I think, was about half as good as Unbreakable.
Yep.
Well, these aliens came to the planet. They didn't research that 75% of the planet could kill them.
I don't know. They're dumb aliens. USA.
The Village.
When they got off the UFO in Orlando, Florida, they were like, oh, we've made a mistake.
The Village was half as good as Signs.
Hawaii, they really fucked up with.
Yeah, right.
Why did we land in this island in Micronesia?
Also, the humidity is burning our skin.
This humidity is burning. Yeah, so wait, then it was Signs, then it was
The Village.
Which I didn't see.
Then I think Lady in the Water.
Yep.
Lady in the Water.
Which was really not good.
Yeah, and then after that was Devil Doesn't Count. Happening. Was it The Happening after that?
Might have been wasn't Airbender? No, it's Happening. The Happening and then Airbender. Yeah.
Wait. What do you mean The Last Airbender?
I just called it Airbender.
Casual acquaintances with The Last Airbender, are we?
Bendy would not appreciate the way that you're talking
Bendy
about
now.
Yeah.
You want to know
what
something crazy about The Last
Hunter's
Airbender?
Daughter?
Maybe I voiced adult Sokka in The Legend of Korra, you guys.
Yeah, well, I drank adult sake last night, and I'm feeling pretty hungover.
Wait, how does that? I don't understand how that. Does it? Where are you going?
Words are similar, Chris.
Words are similar, Chris.
What was Odenkirk's old bit about?
Words are weird.
Words are weird. I mean, I can't remember what the examples were, but he'd be like, dog is D-O-G. Yeah. Tree is T-R-E-E.
Words are weird, guys. Who was the comic? Phil Fleischer?
Fleischman.
Bill Fleischman, an old Bruco guy.
Yeah.
I remember when the movie Signs came out, he's like, man, I keep on seeing advertisements for this movie, Signs. It's like, signs, signs, everywhere there's signs. And then you hear Van Sanders, I want a Scoomy.
What?
I want a Scoomy.
A Southern California open mic award.
I can't remember what the roast.
Oh, the Scoomies were so much fun. When
I went
used to
it because me and Ed Salazar were presenting.
Was it a Bruco?
Yes, it was at Bruco.
Westwood Brewing Company was an open mic.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, it was at the Gypsy Cafe in Westwood, and then moved to the Westwood Brewing Company. And it's been at the Westwood Brewing Company for like 10 or 11 years.
That was where I started.
It is the site of my first open
mic. So Vance, who's a wonderful guy and really funny, used to started the Scoomies to sort of parallel the Oscars, like the open mic awards.
Yeah.
And they were really fun, and all the open micers, and we'd all get dressed up and fucking roast each other, and it was so much fun, and I'm never able to go anymore because of work.
Same here. I went to one early on, and then like I just never really was able to go again because, like, you know, the M-Bar started, which became Death Ray. Like, we all just start going there.
Yeah, so you went and you presented an award.
Me and Ed presented a comic that you wish was your friend. And I didn't know any of the names on the, except for Robert Yasumura, which he's, I think, was there really ironically. he's very funny. And then afterwards I walk outside and I'm talking to a friend and I'm like getting ready to leave. And then all of a sudden Ed Salazar pops his head out. He's like, "You just want to Scoomie." And I was like, I literally was like, "What?" And I was like, "What is it for?" And I get up on stage and I was like, "What did I win?" And it turned out I won most likely to briefly succeed and then return to the Bruco.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, guys, I know that this really seems funny. Like a good award because I'm here right now.
Yeah. But it could be the harbinger of things to come. I was like, went out of rant. I was like, "Man, I can't believe I haven't been here in so long, and I want a Scoomie." Last time I was at a Scoomie's, David Taylor won a Scoomie, and then like only guys that were my age and older were laughing,
and everyone else didn't know. Yeah. Was it just a bunch of young people that you didn't know?
A lot of young people, and I knew, like, you know, like Paige Weldon, you know, oh, now I feel bad. I forgot her boyfriend's name.
Lewis.
Yeah. And what's the Mohawk kid?
Jason Megalas.
Wait, and then what's the fucking weirdo? Rob? I don't know. I was trying to just get you to say someone's name.
You totally just called someone up.
But like, yeah. So like, I was like with them, and then like, you know, Andrew Thompson is there, and Joe Wagner's there, and that's about it. It's like, but it's so weird to kind of just come back to that place.
Well, I think
and
about
see
it.
The dynamic. Yeah, like there's a whole, it's a whole scene.
Yeah, I think about that all the time.
It keeps
like,
going.
The people I was there, like when I was there, it was like Lizzie Cooperman and Ed was still there.
Oh my God! When I started going there, it was Zach Galifianakis and Maria and
Joe Wagner, Aaron Lee,
and Natasha Leggero. Yeah. A little bit
towards the end.
When
we started going. Well, yeah, you were there a lot.
I mean, fucking, there were so many great. Who else was there?
Nosmo King, until about a year ago, I didn't realize was no smoking.
You didn't get that?
I didn't know until he said it to me, and I was like, what?
Yeah, I don't know why.
Yeah.
I was just like, Nosmo King. Moses Campbell?
Yeah.
Moses Campbell.
He was really funny.
So funny. Man, all those guys, man.
Jake West was a guy that I loved. Oh, he was really funny.
Ari Shaffir.
Yeah.
Nick Youssef. BJ Novak. Morgan Murphy.
Morgan Murphy. Yeah. And Dan, it was a good... It was a really fun open mic,
that
and then
crew. I assure you that probably won't happen again.
I don't think so.
I mean, you'd see. I mean, I don't know.
No one could tell then.
Yeah, a percentage of those.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah, they thought I was going to make it.
It was a high yield.
The last time I ever got drunk was at the Bruco show, October 7th, 2003.
I wonder if I was there.
I did the Largo show Monday night, got really hammered, was really hungover. Tuesday, I did some recovery drinking, went to the Bruco. The next day, I went to therapy. My therapist said, "You look like shit. You should quit drinking." And I was like, "I think you're right."
Oh, wow.
And that was it.
I remember like one night we were a bunch of, you, me, and I think Joe Wagner were just tossing them back. And, you know, I didn't have money, so you just kept on buying drinks for everybody. And then I remember, like, Joe Wagner fell asleep on the little up plateau patio thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, the steps up to that other part.
Oh, my God.
Like, he fell asleep. And then you and me went and got pizza or In-N-Out or something like that.
Shit.
And then I was
a pizza and wrapped In-N-Out burgers.
Yes,
in them.
Probably. And then you're dunning. You're like, "All right, see ya." And just, like, left. And I was like, "Oh, fuck, I got to drive back to San Pedro." And then so I just walked around trying to, like, sober up before, like, taking that ride home.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
It's so funny when you...
What I'm saying is I didn't quit. I also was 20.
It's so funny when you're a career drinker, how proud of it you can be for, like, I can drink more than... I remember one time at Gypsy Cafe, this predates Bruco, but at Gypsy Cafe, when we were booking the Friday night show there, Bob Powers, who's a fucking phenomenal writer and a comic, I think he lives in New York now, but he was another, like, hardcore drinker. I think he might have stopped since then, too.
Yeah.
And so we did a show, a Friday night show that we hosted that was basically, we called the Beer Olympics. It was basically just like a drinking competition with stand-ups in between.
Yeah.
So each time we'd go up, we'd have to do a different game. And I fucking drank him so far under the table. Like, it was frightening how much I drank that night.
Now, I'd like to see your liver.
Now it's probably fine.
Probably recovered, right?
After 10 years?
Yeah. I don't know how livers work.
I think they heal.
Yeah. I know that you break them by drinking.
I hope after 10 years of sobriety it helps. But it was fucking nuts because we drank, you know, I mean, like pounding beers and like racing, like boat racing. And then also like trying to tell jokes and take a swig in between each line. And,
oh, wow.
And then I went out that night afterwards. Like Bob was like, I'm done. And then I hooked up with another guy named Steve Benequist.
Steve...
Who I saw at the Downtown Independent, and he was doing some really funny shit. And I got really drunk, and we went to a party. I drank more, smoked pot for one of the few times that I ever maybe ate it or something, and then drank more. Like, I don't fucking have any idea how I didn't explode.
Wow.
It was fucking nuts.
That's crazy. It's weird when you can, like, you know... When I'm at South by Southwest, I surprise myself with how long I'm able to drink.
I'm in awe sometimes watching you.
Oh,
like,
really?
We're out drinking, and I'm just like, just going. If it's like sometimes at night, like do I seem like I'm New York shows? No, you're fine. That's what's the remarkable part.
Yeah.
You just like,
if you don't drink fast, you can draw it out.
I drink pretty fast.
Yeah,
I mean, you drink really fast.
I do drink really
fast. That was weird, like, when we were drinking last time. It's like, you know when you're just, like, you're hanging out and people pace each other. And so it's like when someone's, like, drink is all of a sudden done, you're like, oh, well, let's order together. And then that's how a lot of people can get fucked up because they're just going along with the rhythm of some guy that just can take them out.
I think I was smoking a lot at the time.
Yeah, I never got into that.
It's just fucking gross.
Sweet tobacco.
No, the thought of any of it now is so makes me get dry heave almost.
Well, you're not dry heaving, so you're right about the almost.
I feel like it. But
drinking is fun. It's a shame that you were bad. It was evil for you.
I honestly don't miss it.
No, I'm sure you don't.
I really don't. I mean, I guess...
the episode of the Nerdist description, in which Matt and Jonah convince Chris to drink again.
Yeah. Hey, guys. I never saw it from that perspective before.
No, I think, Chris, really?
No, I think there's people that are, you know, predisposed to not be able to drink.
Yeah, just the same way I can't.
You can drink, you just want to do it all the time.
Yeah.
No, I'm not even kidding. The same way I can't regularly just fucking eat what I want to eat.
Because you would just want to eat all the bread.
And just fucking...
And I would want to drink all the beer.
Yeah.
And even to this day, I know that.
Yeah.
There's no question that I would want to if I started again.
Yeah. I was saying with like Sean Penn, I think it was right before we were doing our half hour specials. I was like, do you want to drink? He's like, no. I was like, well, just one. Like he's like, no, I'm not like you. I can't have one. That's not one.
Yeah.
Like, I know a lot of people like that where it's like, if they have one, they're going to go all out. You know, you don't drink to drink. You drink to get drunk.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, just I don't even know if that was the motivation of like I have to get drunk. It was just I need to keep doing this thing compulsively.
Yeah.
It's more about the process of doing it rather than getting to a certain place, I think.
Yeah, it's a big part cuz it also gives you something to do and think about when you're out and about, you know, it's like, "Oh, I'm going to go and do this and this is the thing I'm going to do."
Not only that, but you know what else is kind of fucked up about it is that if you're there's a couple of things. I think there's a self-medicating thing. Like if you're trying to curb short-term anxiety, it does that. Mm. Problem is it creates more long-term depression and anxiety, so you keep doing it and you keep doing it.
Stretches it out.
And it just sort of stretches it out.
No, I'm the same way with food.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely the same way with food. And if I, like, break the diet for, like, you know, if I, like, fuck it, I'll just have this breadstick, and then it's like, fuck it!
Well, that's
seven pieces.
And that's, like, actually, it's, and all those things are connected, because if you ever read the Chris Farley show, the book his brother wrote on his life, there's a whole thing about how, you know, to get sober, he would also have to go on a diet.
Yeah.
And then the thing is, though, so since they were connected, it's like he would, you know, it would be after a show, and then they would be like, it's like, hey, we ordered pizza. He'd be like, oh, all right, I'll just have a slice. And then he would have a slice, feel like shit for having a slice of something he shouldn't have.
Yeah, and then just say,
and then have like, and then have the rest of the pizza. And then he's like, fuck it, let's get some beers. Let's get some booze. Let's get some drugs. And it would all just fucking slide.
Yeah, yeah. And the other thing about it that's interesting is that if you do feel particularly anxious or you feel like unstable or out of control, I think it sort of operates in the same way that an eating disorder operates, which is that you then try to you can control what's going into, you can control your experience, you can control what's going into your body.
Yeah.
So like, no matter where you are in the world, no matter what's going on, if you go into a bar, you know, like, I can control this experience by doing that.
Oh,
and
yeah,
feeling a specific way. And yeah, so it's really, you know, it's interesting to try to reform your world and your habits and, you know, but I feel like what I would say to people who say, I've been thinking about quitting, and I'm like, look, dude, if I can do it, you could do it. Yeah. Because there was a period of time where it seemed like I'm in this for the long haul.
And, you know, I don't ever really think about quitting. And it's just, I don't know if it's just because nothing really has ever gotten, drinking has never gotten in the way of anything, really.
And I hope it doesn't, for your sake. I don't want you to have that experience.
yeah.
Exactly. I'm not saying this for you, but I'm saying sometimes it gets in the way, but you don't realize it gets in the way. Yeah. There are things that I didn't realize until afterwards. Just, you know, I remember sometimes people would be weird around me, or stuff didn't work out, or jobs, or, you know, and in retrospect, I was like, oh, that's because I was drunker than I thought I was. I slept in longer than I thought I did. I didn't study lines because all these things didn't occur to me at the time because I was in it. And I was like, why are things not working out?
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm not saying that.
You spend a lot of time with me, especially like at shows where I like to have some drinks.
Sure.
Have you ever seen it be a hindrance to me?
I think we've both had shows where we were a little drunker than we should have been.
But that's not weird. Yeah. I mean, like, that happens.
It's like a show.
Yeah. But I mean, I hear what you're asking me. I'm just saying, at the time that I was drinking a lot, I would have asked someone the same question. Mm-hmm. Be like, I can still function fine.
Yeah, you know.
But again, that's dicey for me to say that because I'm not suggesting that you have the same problem that I have.
Yeah.
But I have to answer that honestly and say, like, I did ask that question before. Like, you know, I showed up to shows. I still managed to write jokes. I still, you know, but in retrospect, I was like, oh, but there was a whole bunch of stuff that I wasn't doing or getting done. And just in general, it lowered my productivity because alcohol is a depressant. And so it just made me lazier. You know, like I fucking ruined my credit. I just didn't, you know, I always was just trying to skate by on the minimal amount of work. So it's, you know, it dampened my brain, and it dampers a lot of people's brains, I think, in ways that people don't necessarily understand if they're doing it all the time, because it's a depressant, and it just you know.
Like white bread.
Just like white bread.
Just like white bread.
White bread's so fucked up.
It's so good, though.
I know it is.
God damn it.
I know.
There it is.
Yeah, I had a hell of a cheat day on fucking Sunday.
Did you do the crazy, like, cupcakes? And
yeah, I did the Sycamore Kitchen, got some Eggs Benedict. Then we walked over to Dupar's, got pancakes.
Nice.
Had a bagel toasted with cream cheese. Then I picked up the dozen cupcakes I had ordered at Sprinkles and had nine of them.
Holy shit!
Then,
I don't know if this cheat day thing is a good idea.
He's losing weight.
Then I ordered a...
And imagine how much more weight he'd lose if he didn't have a cheat day.
Well, I can tell you exactly. I mean, I have actually a chart in my office at home.
The theory is that the cheat day, starts and stops your metabolism and keeps it running faster.
No, I know it does.
I've been charting it, like, I've actually
who charted
the Kulap and
Cuckoo and Wee Wee.
I have a chart in front of my scale in my office. So actually, what happens is every morning I record my weight.
Yeah.
So I've been looking at it, and like I write cheat day or post cheat day afterwards or whatever. So I put on an average of 5.5 pounds on a cheat day.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But if you're weighing yourself the next day, it's mostly just fucking just sitting in your stomach.
Well,
it's
not water that
weight. And water weight. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And it doesn't. I don't get back to where I was until 3 days in.
Yeah.
So like tomorrow. Yeah, I should Wednesday. Thursday, I should be back to under where I was right before the last cheat day.
Then Friday and Saturday is when you drop more weight?
Friday and Saturday, I'll drop more weight, and then Sunday will be the cheat day.
So you're basically...
It's like 5 steps forward, 3 steps back, 5 steps forward, 3 steps back.
2 steps forward! Anyone else going to pick that up?
3 steps back.
Yeah.
But now, like when we came back from,
seemed so mad.
Yeah, I was.
Just fucking let me hang.
I volleyed an opportunity for you to sing, and it's the first time you've never taken an opportunity.
I'm really Sarah Jonah. I miss McHugh.
When we come back, well, actually, what's funny is if you watch the Nerdist, if you watch the Nerdist TV shows, the episode was like one. Episode 1 and 2, I'm like 20 pounds heavier than I am in episode 3 and 4.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because we shot them like almost a month apart.
Yeah, because we shot those that like last weekend. You know what I mean? And it was like after we came back from England, where God damn it.
Both of us. Yeah. But we have to eat this stuff.
No.
Well, we gotta.
We're experimenting. You've never been to England and had British food,
right?
Did you get like a standard British breakfast with like beans?
We sought out to get that, and we got pretty much that from just like a little like coffee shop.
Yeah.
But there was no black pudding in it, so it wasn't full.
Right. But yeah, and so I was like having Eggs Benedict every morning, and then I was like,
you know, British food,
fish and chips.
Mm-hmm.
Hollandaise sauce is British. Yeah, fish and chips, like beer with everything, and then like we came back, and then we went to Grand Rapids, and then when I came back from Grand Rapids, I was like, oh fuck, I was up 17.5 pounds.
Oh shit!
So I was like, I better take it all off. So I did. I'm back down and looking to lose another 20 to 40 by the time I go to Disney in May.
You could lose 40 pounds in a month.
Month and a half, yeah, I can lose.
Holy shit!
If I really get strict with it, and I'm going to.
Yeah, I need to.
That's
kind
the
of,
plan.
I need to kind of rein it in a bit.
Mm.
Gearing up for the wedding, I want to try and lose some more weight. Just
before you can let it all go.
That fucking,
well, we're
I'm
going to fucking
you.
France, and we're all I'm going to eat is cheese. That's and it. Cheese and
eat
bread.
Cheese and bread. Yeah,
that's all I'm going to do.
Get baguettes, but get crepes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. I want to have character breakfasts in Disney World. What character breakfast?
They'll fucking. You'll get like a jambon fromage. And it'll have like butter on it. Just like fucking butter and ham.
Can't
and
wait. Just fucking
amazing
just,
cheese and amazing bread and delicious ham. It's
we're just gonna
so
get
good.
We're gonna get fucking a piece. We're gonna buy a piece of bread. We're gonna go someplace, buy a bunch of cheese, and then just walk around the city. Just fucking.
You're gonna do the thing the locals do.
Yeah.
Can I make a suggestion?
Please do.
Get, look up thrift shops and.
We just had him on the podcast.
I'm gonna pop some tears. Just look up thrift shops, like cool local thrift shops. And what's cool about that is it will take you to like the cool local non-touristy parts of town.
Oh, good point.
And so you know you'll get there in a thrift shop, and it'll sort of be like, you know, an older part of town with a lot of cool other stuff around
it. Like the hipster parts of town.
Or exactly.
Yeah. I mean, it's okay. It's like it's a term that can be used for good.
Right. Like the arty parts of town. Like and so it'll just sort of those are sort of markers for off the beaten path places as opposed to the mainstream
stuff.
Yeah,
that's what we're kind of like one of the guys that was in a sketch we did with Arthur Darville, and like they got the mustache that played the Styx.
Oh yeah.
Like I DM'd him on Twitter. I was like, hey, like for lack of a better term, where would be a fun kind of hipstery part of town to Airbnb at in London? And he just gave me like three little areas. He's like, to give you an idea how hipster these areas are, I live there.
That's it. Well done.
Yeah, yes.
Good and you guys job. Are going to go see a movie in the catacombs?
We want, yeah, apparently that's still going on. So there's like in the catacombs, some people have like been putting like making like shops or like museums or a movie theater and stuff like that. Looking really, really looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Go to the
I wish we had gone to the National Gallery when we were in England.
Didn't have time for
it. We were right there though. It was like it was.
We shot in front of it. I shot in front of it when I went there for the last run of BBC shows.
Yeah, the not as good run.
The figuring it out run. How about that?
How about that?
How about it? We about had that. To do those shows to figure out how to ultimately do
what not to do.
Yeah, exactly.
I really feel like we got it.
I was skeptical about the games in Act 3, and they ended up being so much fun.
Yeah, it was a fun thing to do.
BB seen it. BB seen it was a show that Matt. Did you come up with that?
Yeah.
That basically they would give us the name of a show that was on the BBC and a description, and we would have to figure out if it was a real show or made up. And the real shows were more insane than the made up shows.
It's remarkable.
Really. It's
real on,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come back, Mrs. Noah. That's the one that fucking.
Come back, Mrs. Noah.
I ruined that for anybody that's going to watch that sci-fi.
That's all right. Man. That's okay. They'll never remember, man.
Yeah.
I'm suit shopping right now. Suit shopping for the wedding.
Suit shopping.
Shopping.
Throw down a bottle of juice.
Juice.
Don't sound right.
Radio edit.
Oh, bring a bottle up here.
He's getting an adult suit though. He's
adult suit,
good places.
Yeah,
like a man.
Wait to hear back on see if this Ted Baker suit's gonna come in so I can try it in my
Whoa.
Size.
Whoa,
right?
Yeah,
I was like, he's my favorite doctor.
Yeah.
Oh Jesus Christ!
Looking forward.
Ted Baker's got some nice clothes. Too big for me.
Too small for me.
Fucking humble brag.
What?
He's got some nice clothes, but they're too big.
They are, yeah. Banana Republic, Ted Baker, they're all one size too big for me.
That's so funny because they're small for me. Yeah.
They're one size too small for me.
Yeah, it feels great to be too small for stuff. Like where I can't.
I'm sure it does because you can always take it in. You can't let it out. There's no more fabric.
This is a point that I had not fully considered.
Yeah. Yeah. You can get stuff fitted. For us, it's just like, all right.
Well. Get back to the gym, Tubby.
I have it way better than everyone. Oh, my God.
God, he
I'm
does.
So lucky that
he
I don't
does.
Have to.
He can get it. Take it in.
It was funny when I quit drinking and then, like, dropped, like, 40 pounds in 6 months or whatever, that because I didn't really notice it because it was me, so I didn't really notice it, and I would go to put on pants and they would just fall off. Like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I had no idea that there was.
No, like these pants, like London pants. These are London pants, and these. I was like, "Good God, I got to do something." And now, like, I got to put a belt on and fucking really tighten it up for it to stay up.
Oh, you better put on your London pants.
London pants.
Got me London pants. I don't know what that was.
You sound like a child who's just learning the saxophone.
Oh, those were. Some heady times for me when I was just learning saxophone.
Do you have a saxophone?
No, I don't have a saxophone. Here's the thing about saxophones. A good saxophone is going to cost.
Here's the thing about saxophones.
Are you about to talk about how much that costs when you have like 20 expensive guitars?
I have 20 guitars.
18 of them are expensive.
No, like 12 or 13 of them are expensive. But like a good solid horn, it's going to run you about $7,000.
Yeah, bro, but think about all the pussy.
Yeah, that's the thing. No, you're not going to get any.
So much pussy.
Sometimes I like to give a girl the old solid horn, if you know what I mean.
What do you mean?
I do know what you mean.
A really good saxophone.
Yeah.
You fuck her with really a saxophone?
No, I just give it to her as a present, because what better gift than one that gives you the blues?
What was the name of the music shop in The Simpsons that Homer got the
King Toots.
Saxophone. Saxophone.
She had a baritone sax.
The moron decided to close the music. I happen to be that moron. That's when Homer buys Lisa a pony.
Yep, and then he has to take a second job.
Mm-hmm.
Falling asleep.
It's good.
Doors closing in on his head.
Yep.
That's where he does the one Liberty Bell, two Liberty Bells. Woohoo! Yeah. Three Liberty Bells.
Oh, congratulations. I'm going to have to see that ticket.
That was an inside that was a line that Will and I used to repeat to each other. If you want to freak Will Wheaton out, tweet at Will W. Woohoo! Three Liberty Bells in all caps.
And don't say that Chris told you to do it.
No, just do it.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm broke, Apu.
About to be gone for almost 2 months.
You know that in 2011, Jerry Seinfeld made $70 million from the reruns of Jerry Seinfeld's show.
What was that one called?
Seinfeld.
Oh.
Just in 2011?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Those days are so over.
Yeah.
Those days are so over. Yeah. Of, oh, my gosh.
Could you imagine? God, that was such a good show, too. It's just like.
Yeah. Well, good. Such a good show.
You okay?
Have you guys ever heard about Seinfeld?
Seinfeld?
I think I'm saying it right.
That's the prequel to Curb Your Enthusiasm, right?
Yep.
Well,
they were airing the original the original Curb special.
Oh, wow.
The other day. Nice. It's 4:3.
Yeah.
It's shot on video, and it's just like that part where the stage designer is showing Larry the stage. And it's like the Seinfeld set, and then she's like, "And we turn it around, and the stage moves, and then the back of it is just like a little tiny cardboard cutout of Larry." And she's like, "The man behind Seinfeld," and just his fucking face, Larry David's face, just like.
That's awesome!
Oh my God!
That whole Curb Your Enthusiasm special is a special about him deciding not to do a comedy special on HBO.
Yep. Oh, that's right. I remember that. Yeah. He goes to HBO. Yep.
It's called Larry David, Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah. Right.
God damn it. This show.
Yeah.
It's done, right?
No.
He kind of can just do it when he wants.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
That's fucking unreal.
It's beautiful. Cheap show.
It's a great show, too. I love it.
Yeah, it's great.
That's a good plane show. On the plane, and I can just watch like 7 episodes.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
I'm going to miss you guys while I'm gone.
Where are you going? Jonah's wedding?
So you're missing my wedding, huh?
I'm trying to not have to miss your wedding.
It's okay. You can go to that comedy show in Austin.
It's not the...
You can't not go to that comedy show in Austin if you want to play the Midwest anymore.
Yeah, that's the, yeah, I'm trying to get out of it.
No, it's fine. Other people have, but,
other people aren't as important as I am.
He's right, Jonah.
No, I really am trying to get out of the whole thing. I'm not the whole thing, but just that Saturday night show.
It'd be nice if you were at one of your best friend's weddings. And also mine.
I know there's no answer I can give that's not going to make me look like a dick. I committed to that thing before you announced your wedding, and then
I think it's Jonah.
Doesn't Alex represent that?
The festival?
Yeah.
No.
He represents the Moon Tower Comedy Festival.
He does not.
He does.
I'm not aware of that.
Oh.
He's never mentioned that to me.
That's weird.
Maybe he's never wanted to.
The other thing that we're doing is we're doing some stuff at the Tribeca Film Festival.
Yes.
I'll be there.
Which I might have to, I'm trying my best to not have to miss your wedding. I feel really bad about it. I really, really feel bad about it. Because there's no excuse that I can give that's not going to be like, you're choosing work over your friend's wedding. Yeah. Like, I know, but but there are things that I have to do.
I've accepted it. I heard about it, and then I was going to call you, and then I waited till I was done being upset. And it's okay.
Now that sounded like an open-ended okay, like it might not still be
no,
okay.
No, it's fine. It's a bummer. It doesn't take away the fact that it is a bummer.
Yeah.
But it's okay.
I'll tell you what, I'll RT your wedding for you.
Where's the hashtag? I'll get it going. I'll get that hashtag trending. Was it JG wedding? Rooney Ray? Was it Rooney Ray wedding? Hashtag?
This is the douchiest thing you could ever say to someone. Hey guys, I'll give you your... I can't even say it.
I appreciate the fact that you're trying.
I am. I'm so sorry. It's
you know what's funny is I moved my vacation.
What?
For Jonah. I moved it. I had booked it. And I was like, oh, that's the wedding.
If I just had a vacation, I would I cancel that in a second.
For but the you might not be able to vacation there ever again.
You're not allowed in Florida.
Just going to take it. Yeah. Just going to take it. I deserve
one
it.
One of those times.
Are you going to cut it out of the podcast?
No, I'll leave it in.
I'll leave it in so people can tell me that I'm a dick
for missing my friend's wedding.
I did talk to Matt about it, and I was upset. But I'm trying not to be. I'm trying to be zen about most things, which I think is working pretty well for my blood pressure.
Yeah, you can be successful at that for most of the time.
Most of the time. But the thing is, if you just like what I've realized though, if I get upset by something. Wait and suss it out in your head. Don't let the passion, like, you know.
Let me sleep over there.
What?
What?
He's Paradise by the Dashboard Light.
It'd be nice if you were able to make it, but if you can't, it's cool. You can go your own way. Go your own way.
Fuck. Yeah, no, it sounds bad when we talk about it out loud.
It does. I've been doing my best to not bring it up because every time the wedding would come up, you would start to, you would physically look guilty every time anything.
I don't feel horrible about it.
I know.
That's not what he said to me yesterday.
Ooh.
Matt, that was in private when we were fucking.
What about my funeral? Are you going to make it to my funeral?
Funeral?
Oh,
yeah.
I would love to. Yeah. I'll send it to Skype.
Here's the thing. Bridgetown's that weekend.
I mean, you died. I don't want to die on stage.
Bridgetown Funeral Festival. Let's do it.
Funeral Festival.
Dunnesbury. It would be great. Yeah.
But it's going to be, you know, it won't take away the fact that it's going to be a special day for me.
It'll take away a lot.
McDonough's, we put the dun in life.
Ooh.
We had bowling shirts. We put the fun in funeral.
Oh, that's good.
That was an old joke of mine. I hated my grandfather so much for when he died. We had everyone else had a funeral. I had a funeral, which sounds like just a cute thing I made up just now. But it wasn't. It was pretty awesome when I ordered the Tilt-A-Whirl.
Adorable.
19-year-old making a joke.
Oh, that's way better than my jokes at 19. Trying to remember one.
I found an old joke page that I'd had from 2007, 6 maybe. And it was, the joke was that I had nicknamed my car. I've been struggling with a nickname for it, and I had finally settled on Mercedes. I was like, not because it's a Mercedes, but because it's a spoiled whore. I was like, this is a great joke.
Way better than a joke that I wrote at 19, which was... This joke, I'm remembering this joke, and it's sort of like reading a child's, like a small child's artwork where you know it makes sense in their head, but it doesn't make sense to anyone else. The joke when I was 19, I knew a girl, and she was obsessed with Spider-Man, so much so that she would have spiders bite her on the hand so she could try to get spider powers, and she never got the spider powers, but... Interesting side note, years later, when she lost her virginity afterwards, she ate the guy. No. Where's the joke there?
Yeah.
Wow.
Where's the joke there?
I have the perfect space for you to perform that material. Come to my open mic.
here's one of my first ones, too, is, you know, it's true what they say. Don't fear the Reaper, because if he's anything like the Grim Reaper from Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, you will truly have a non-heinous time.
That sounds like a marketing team for Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey had a stand-up.
You will truly have a non-heinous time.
Station.
I started by saying that I prepared for the mispronunciation of my name. I was like, my name's Matt Myra. I said Mira, but I mean, you can call me anything you want except cunt face. That's what my mom calls me. That was my opening joke.
Yeah.
I'm sure I had some name-based jokes with my last name in particular. But I don't really remember any of the other...
I have it. I have my set list from my first open mic with the date on it in my folder that has like all my tax documents. I kept it.
I have all that stuff somewhere.
I used to...
Well, Why? Because your jokes were about as funny as a tax return? Come on. Is that why you...
They were. They were, yeah.
What was another shitty one? I used to go on stage like, hey, everybody, who likes fucking? And then, if anyone responds, I go, what's it like?
That's funny.
That is really
That's
funny.
That's still funny.
Yeah. That is really funny. I can't remember one good joke that I had before the age of 30. I can't remember any of them. But I am sorry, I'm not going. I'm trying to go to your wedding.
What are the efforts that you've been making to go to my wedding?
Ask Alex. Ask him.
Ask Alex, the leader of Moontown.
He's not the leader. Alex is the secret leader of Moontower?
Yes, you didn't know? It says it right here on this pictograph.
It's okay. Don't cry for me. I'm already dead.
Don't cry for me. I'm already dead.
Josh, look into my veins.
I read it the other day on a Today I Learned. I saw that Matt Groening was so angry about having to do that episode, the crossover with the critic, that he had his name removed from the credits at the end.
Really?
Wow. Yep.
Oh,
Homer Simpson, meet Jay Sherman, the critic.
It stinks.
I like that episode. I loved.
I do too. That was in the heyday of the.
But Matt Groening probably didn't want anyone to tell him what he had to do with his show, particularly at that point.
Whatever.
And they made a bunch of, you know, it's like, ugh, another. Oh no, it was Bart Simpson, Jay Sherman, the critic, because Bart was watching a TV and it says, coming up next, the Flintstones meet the Jetsons.
Yeah. I saw an episode from like season 23 or something like that the other day, and it wasn't bad. I'm sure
there's like a handful in each season. Yeah. What was it, Dr. Hibbert? Like, I thought they were showing the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh, was he dressed
he was
like
dressed
in
up
the
Frankenfurter?
Yeah. I loved that episode.
Yeah, that's good.
All right.
What other fun Simpsons episodes?
Senior Spielbergo.
Oh yes,
Spielbergo.
Judah Ben Hur.
Jonah's wedding. Jonah's wedding.
Had a good Sue. We sent out the official invites today. Did you check her email?
I'm checking it. I mean, I've checked it. It hasn't come in.
Should be there.
Nope.
Was this morning?
Yeah. Nothing came in.
That's kind of scary.
Nothing came in on mine. Oh, there it is. Jonah and Deanna. Yep. There it is.
Wow. Even your eyes are blind to
friendship.
I'll allow it.
What time did your email come in? Because I'm curious about how this email server works.
9:50 a.m.
Yeah, I got mine at 11:48. Did you send it out in blast?
You were invited to join Deanna Rooney and Jonah Ray in the celebration of their marriage.
Private information.
Didn't use your full name on the invite. Like, you didn't go old school.
Oh, with a
Jonah Ray Rodriguez.
Nah. I don't care about it.
A brief ceremony will be followed by light fare, drinks, and of course, dancing.
And then there's a link to the Honey Fund.
That's where you can make up for not being there, Chris.
Jonah, let me buy your love.
No, before you're like, it's like, you know what? I feel so bad. I'll just pay for it. And then you end up showing up. And I go, oh, does this mean?
Sorry, yes. I'm going to need a lot of that back. Yeah. The less time I have, the
this
more money
Jaguar
I have.
Doesn't gas itself.
Hell,
it actually does.
What? It's amazing.
I know. It comes with a living Jaguar in the trunk.
That is trained to function.
Yeah, he's a gas Jaguar, and he hops out.
It knows to get supreme.
I pull into like an Exxon station, I open the trunk, and then he just goes, and then just like, then just gingerly walks over and lifts it out, and while guarding the, he does the squeegee, and then just jumps back into the boot.
Claws at the Pegasus at the mobile station.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Claws at the Pegasus.
Can never tell if he's trying to kill it or fuck it.
Maybe a little bit of both. The aggressive word fuck is very demeaning towards sex. I'm sorry.
Towards sex.
I like to think of it as a pussy hug.
There was like a real sex.
A blowjob is a mouth
or something
bath.
Like that was on HBO the other day as I was flipping channels. And I stopped on it for a second, and it's just so funny that I was able as a child to jerk off to that.
To what?
Like real sex on HBO.
Oh, yeah. You're
like,
basically just
like,
jerking
oh,
off
God,
to...
Oh, God, these people. What are they? What are these people?
Fat swingers.
So, ugh.
Yeah, it's... it really is. It really is a weird... I mean, the show's fascinating.
Yeah.
But a lot of it is like trying to jerk off to a retirement community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I managed.
Well, because you're not picky at that time. You just need any kind of stimulation.
Ripe old age of 12. You all right, Jonah?
No.
You look like you're
just, no, I just had
like,
a little bit of...
being let down by your friend.
No, Jesus.
Matt must really enjoy...
When I'm not the one to do it, every once in a while.
Because I feel so bad, I'm not going to tell you to shut up about it.
I know.
I genuinely feel bad.
It's beautiful.
What if I didn't go to the wedding and all of a sudden I just showed up in Paris and I'm like, guys, we're going to hang out now.
Yeah. Oh, no, because we got our own. It's
no,
totally cool.
You don't have to thank me.
It's all right.
I'm all the way.
I brought Matt and a Zoom.
Listen, I figure as long as we're all together, we might as well bang out a couple of podcasts. D, could you excuse us for a minute?
There's some French celebrities we could get, right?
What?
Gerard Depardieu.
No, he left.
Oh, he's in Brussels.
Yeah. Tony Todd, I think he's French.
Tony Todd?
He did a French movie.
So did Bruce Campbell.
Who drew the?
That was Britt Sanders. She goes by the artist name of Super Secret Pow Wow. She's a great, great artist. Super Secret Pow Wow stuff is amazing. Really good illustrator. She also a longtime girlfriend of Johnny Pemberton.
No, not it.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a favor. Good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jonah, I've decided for your wedding gift, I'm going to sing you a song.
Oh.
I can't go, but I'm going to record it and send a video.
I don't think you know what the word gift means.
Yeah.
You kidding me? A gift horse like him?
Look him in the mouth. This Saturday, I'm going to be hosting... when is this going up? This week?
Saturday Night Live.
No, this goes up next week, right?
Oh, never mind. Had a good time hosting the Midnight Show at UCB Theater. Doing some sketches.
I thought you did really well.
Thanks. Yeah.
A lot of fun.
I'll post this before then if you want.
Well, good.
Man, this show sells out. He doesn't need the...
Oh, Chris, you can't do what you want anyway, so...
God damn it.
I'm glad we brought it up because now I could joke around about it and feel better about it.
Yeah. Moon Tower.
So you'll feel better if I don't...
No. I'm going to make sure there is an empty seat in the front.
What is the dollar amount that would make you feel...
Honey fun.
You could find that by clicking on that email, Chris.
The honey fund. You know, it's there should be, when you do like a gifting fund like that, there should be one incredibly high number for like a get out of jail free number.
Yeah, where it's like,
and if you give $2,500, it's like a Kickstarter. Yeah, if you give $2,500, you are completely absolved of any guilt.
I mean, that'd be the thing to do.
Yeah.
And then in a lot of people, most people donate like 50 or 100. It's like, but then just one ridiculously high number is like the guilt-free number.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like kickstarting a marriage.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It is. It's really cool.
And for 10 grand, you'll get all of these things. Plus
you get to say your check, sir.
I'm glad that exists, though, because like every time anyone ever has a registry, I look at it and I go, wow, fucking, what they just have to pick things. They have to have enough things for people to buy.
Why do they want a gravy boat?
Why do you need two Roombas?
It's like, you see stuff like, it's like popcorn maker, ice cream machine, you know, just like, what are you going to fucking maybe use that the one time we come
over?
First
of all, you're just going to get a bunch of shit that you'll never use.
And have no room to put it in.
But a vacation.
Vacation, the memories that last a lifetime.
Your heart. You put that right in your heart, Jonah.
So I'm looking forward to it. Should be fun. Should be fun. Harmar Superstar is going to be playing.
Oh, with that's his cool. Band.
Yeah. Wedding band.
Well, at Moon Tower, they've got this setup where there's going to be a lot of great.
Yeah, Dana Gould was going to do a Saturday night set too. He canceled it.
Oh,
shit.
Matt Bronger. Sean O'Connor.
Are they not going to the wedding?
No, they're all coming to the wedding. They've all requested.
Oh, they've all canceled.
They've all requested to have their shows moved so they can come to the wedding.
I requested it. I begged.
I wonder if it was because of them all moving their things is why like they had to keep you.
It's possible, but I still haven't heard the final word that... I got to call Alex and find out.
Hey, you know who can fill in for you? Pete Holmes.
At the wedding?
No, at the Moon Tower. He's going to be there. I think.
Probably. I'll find out.
The weekend before was Bridgetown.
Yep. The weekend after, Jonah's Wedding Town.
Oh, that's a festival for a well, wedding festival.
It's
a
yeah,
wedding
festival.
All right.
Weddington.
I'm going to sort this out, Jonah.
Don't
backpedal on me now.
I think what he's really saying is he'd like you to pay for the vast majority of the honeymoon rather than go to the wedding.
I really? Timed the wedding out because I knew you were going to be out of town.
How much are you hoping to raise in the honeymoon fund?
Oh, I can't remember what the total came out to.
$4,300.
It's not that much. It's just kind of, you know, because we live modestly.
They do. It's gross. So funny.
I don't know. To be honest, it would be nicer to have you there.
Sure.
Than to, you know, even have you pay for the entire...
like how that's on the table. Yeah. That I made that. Like
well, I wasn't to offering to pay the entire.
Yeah, the wedding and the honeymoon. It's really nice.
I don't
of
feel
you.
Like I was offering
yeah,
that at all.
Just like to, like,
I mean, he's got
to
buy a new suit for the wedding too, which is gonna,
yeah,
it's gonna cost
a lot of money.
You know? And I just,
putting
I
up
just,
my parents, there's so much things, oh and the taxes coming up. I'm paying for the whole wedding myself. It just,
it's so much in taxes because all the travel.
But you know what's weird? Just like thinking, like,
would you fucking stop guilt grifting me?
We invented a term. The guilt grift.
Yeah,
I'm probably gonna need these.
I'm not gonna say. Time. I'm not gonna say. Don't worry about it, because if you can, in some power that you have, come to the wedding, it would mean a lot to me.
Okay.
I understand that there's probably contracts involved and there's a whole bunch of stuff going on. You know, so know that I know that.
That'd be funny if I'm able to work at night a show and I'm like, hey man, and you're just like, hey, and then you totally ignore me.
Yeah, probably. There's gonna be a lot of people there.
Oh, I didn't think you were coming. we don't have any. It's an extra chair.
Yeah. Is Chloe going to be in town?
I show up. She'll be in town, I think.
She can come.
She'll, I'll show up like I think it's a really big deal that I'm showing up. Yeah. Hey, guys, I made it.
In the middle of the
Chris
yeah.
didn't need to hire security.
Oh, yeah.
I got
hey
it.
Hey, guys, I'm here.
Just sit down and fucking shut up.
But yeah, tell Chloe she can go.
I will pass that information along. I'm really sorry,
oh,
Jonah
it's
Ray.
Okay. I guess we should have.
I love you, buddy.
I'm
gonna try. I'm gonna do my best.
I know you wouldn't do it maliciously. It's just because you do have a problem that you are a workaholic and it's getting in the way of your life. This is your intervention.
Oh shit. Okay, I'll stop working so much, but you have to quit drinking.
Whoa, is this real on the table?
That's the thing. Here's the thing. You won't stop working much, but then if I quit drinking, I'll start getting a lot more work, apparently.
I don't know.
God, it sounds like a win-win.
What are you like, working or drinking? Exactly.
We'll sort it out. Jonah Ray.
Yeah, whatever night you end up moving your show to, my wedding's that night, too. And I've set up a honey fund.
Did you hear that?
Jessica
Kiki and Matt are getting married.
Kiki, will you make Matt the happiest guy in the world? The answer is no. No one can do that.
That's so true.
Matt has left the microphone and is banging his head against the wall.
Nothing can work. No guitar can fill the void. Not 1,000 LL beans.
Or a trip on the space shuttle.
Nothing will make Matt happy. No, nothing will make Matt happy.
No amount of astronauts can fill the hole.
I'm happier than I have ever been.
You do have a little bit of a pink in your cheek and a glimmer in your eye.
Yep. That's from Kiki.
That's good. She was really funny in the Karen Gillan video, the zombie owl video.
Yeah, look for it. If you watch the zombie episode, she gets eaten by Karen.
We put that one up. It's on the YouTube channel.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
That's her.
It's just the... I don't know, it's just perfect...
She fucking commits to it, too. Yeah. She's a very good actress. She's doing a play in a couple weeks.
Nice.
She's very good.
Do we have to go?
You know what? I said to her, I was like, oh, when is it so I can go? She's like, it's sold out. And I was like, why wouldn't you tell me tickets were on sale? And she's like, meh.
Wouldn't she get any guest passes for her own show?
Well, I'll find out.
I'm sure she will. It seems like that should be your follow-up question.
I'm gonna go regardless. Okay, I'll figure out a way.
Will you allow her to let you go?
All those play scalpers out in front of the fucking Black Box Theater.
I don't know where it is.
Yo, man, how many tickets you need?
Yo.
On a recent episode of the. I know it was like this week's episode of Jonah Radio. Mm-hmm. We did a hashtag game of tribute band names for like just what, like, you know, what the band tribute band name would be for that. And someone said a tribute band name would be Wicked Man.
Oh, for Hard and Firm.
Yeah.
That's really funny.
Yeah. There was a bunch of good ones this week.
Yeah. Cole Stratton from SF Sketchfest said that when Mike and I did country songs, he referred to us as Herd and Farm.
That.
Words are weird.
Words are weird.
Cole Stratton, Pop My Culture Podcast. Well, we did it, guys. We haven't fixed our friendship, but we did another podcast.
Another golden podcast in the books. Do they go gold, right?
They go gold, yeah.
Yeah.
They go gold.
Google.
I want to get a plaque from someone.
Oh, you're going to get plaques now. You're going to get the shit out of plaques.
But will they fill that hole? A wall of plaques, nowhere to go.
Guys, I got a Volvo-sized hole in my heart.
Matt Myra's got an empty spot in his heart, and there's nothing that can fill the void.
There you go. There it is. That's like sounded like, there it is. Now he's gotten it.
It's climbing up the charts.
Yeah. Matt Myra's got a hole in his heart.
Matt, you are ending out your employment. You're in like a month, right?
Yeah, my rap date on the BBC show is May 3rd.
Cool. But then so you're coming like to work for Nerdist.
Seems like you're going to have a little gap, though, in payment, right?
Yeah, it's going to be a decent pay cut I'm taking to go over to the Nerdist channel.
Cool.
Yeah.
And then what have you been? What are the actions you've been taking? Like, you've been saving money, putting some money aside.
Right. Yeah, I've been saving some money.
Cool.
Some
money aside. You have that money then to like save for like, you know, food and rent and stuff like that. Or wait, what's wrong? Wait, where's that money?
What are you talking about, James?
Matt, what did you just buy?
No, just now?
No, I didn't just buy anything. Waiting for a couple things to come in the mail.
For what?
Just for me. Just a couple for me.
What is it?
I bought a couple of things. I got a couple guitars.
The void in Max Soul, Matt's soul has guitar racks.
And then I was like, where do I put these guitars? And I was like, I need something with a trunk big enough.
What did you buy then? Then you what? Then you bought
a bowl.
Bow.
Adorable.
God. Chris, I need a raise.
Seems reasonable.
Just know that if you couldn't make it to my wedding, I'd understand fully.
I just gave you a raise. I know, but I had to buy these Adirondack chairs.
Do you know of some for sale?
That was so funny.
The arms swivel.
I don't know what I'm going to do about my money situation.
Did you see my new Volvo? For years, financial analysts have been teaching us that spending money begets more money. No, that's not how it works.
Yeah, but...
If I put more money into the economy, there's more jobs that I could get because there's more hiring.
Chris.
Here's the, okay.
Matt, was it the stress of being out of work that caused you to buy something very expensive?
Here's why I bought the car.
You did buy the car.
I'm picking it up Thursday.
Is it because you felt like snacking at the moment? And then you just like move that energy onto something else?
That might be realer than we both know. But no, I... Here was my brain thought process.
A Volvo is like 90,000 cupcakes.
Oh, you're not buying Sprinkles cupcakes then.
Wait.
Because it's really only like
you can
3,
buy cars with cupcakes?
Yes!
What? Shit, I got to get home and start baking.
It's a loophole.
I feel like they're... end up costing more somehow. I've been tired of the Jeep for a while. I've been annoyed with it. You know, it's loud. It doesn't, you know, it just has no
it's
amenities.
Not expensive.
It has no amenities. Mm-hmm. It was more expensive than you think because my fucking credit when I bought the car was so shitty anyway. Oh. I was paying a 22%, you know, interest rate
on
the
car.
He
had it with the gas-saving hybrid that he was driving currently.
I got rid of the gas saving hybrid. But anyway, I refinanced the Jeep, and then I was like, well, I think I no longer have negative equity in this thing. And I was like, well, if we move the Nerdist offices over to Burbank, like, you know, theoretically could be a thing that ends up happening. I'm going to have to be in the car a lot more. I don't want to drive something that gets 11 miles to the gallon.
Makes sense.
Maybe I want something that gets 30 miles to the gallon.
Ooh, like a hybrid car or a Honda. You know, a car that's like... $15,000.
I'm not going to give you shit about this.
Thank you. Well, you can afford it.
I've made extravagant purchases.
Yeah. Well, here's the funny thing, or sad, horrible thing, depending on how you look at it. While I was test driving the Volvo, I heard the little go off on my phone, and I picked it up, and it was like, your best offer has been accepted on a 1950 Gibson J4. I was like, what the fuck?
And then
I really lowballed them, thinking, there's no way they're going to say yes to me buying this guitar. But apparently there aren't that many lefties out there with a bunch of money wanting to buy a bunch of guitars. Because I checked on eBay, and you can look
at... You're not one of the lefties with a bunch of money trying to buy guitars.
You're right. I looked at eBay. You can look at finished auctions. And if you type in left-handed guitar, and you look at the finished auctions, and you sort by highest to lowest, in the top 10, 4 of them are mine.
Wow.
4 of those fucking...
Listen, see, guys, this is what you get with the Nerdist podcast. We're not perfect. Some of us are bad friends. Others of us drink more than they realize. And some of us spend money like they're trying to fill a hole.
Oh, I realize how much I drink, and I'm very happy with it.
See, and a lot of us are in denial. At least a third of us. So whatever you're doing out there, whatever problems you think you have, just know that we're right there with you. Enjoy your burrito.
I don't think we've ever had like a nice wrap up at the end of a Houseful podcast like that.
That was kind of nice. We did kind of stick the landing a little bit. And now the feet go up on the counter.
And we turn that off.
And then we kind of have to deal with the fallout of just being friends and dealing with a lot of the things we said on the podcast to a bunch of strangers. Here we go.
Kiki, I'm sorry.
Here we go.
Click.
You motherfucker! No, I'm still recording.
No shit!
Oh, I was yelling at someone who just walked by.
Oh.
You gotta get married to start a honey fund.
Yeah, now I'm thinking, oh wait, shit, Matt's not gonna be able to donate anything to my honey fund.
I'll be fine. As long as you're not getting married in that fucking stretch in May where I have to you know, you think you're making less than internet money and then you go work for the internet.
I worked for the internet many times. Yeah. It was never that good.
Mm-hmm.
Money wise.
Yeah, sure.
Content is all there.
I mean, come on.
just doing it, just making it for the sake of making it.
Well, you know, there's room to negotiate, right?
I gotta go.
As if you make that decision.
All right, I gotta go. Chris, if you want, I could leave before you stop recording.
No.
Oh, it's fine.
You've all just been part of a happening. Jonah's not really getting married, and I've never spent a dime.
It's the trees.
Trees? You can come on those?
You can come on those trees?
Hey, come on those trees?
Should I come all over those trees? Are those trees made because I'm not coming on those trees? Are those trees jealous of titties?
What are they want titties?
Trees don't got tits.
Trees don't got tits.
Trees are jealous of tits.
Well, sometimes the tree gets a knot. It looks like a ball sack, but...
But it's not like a tit.
No, it's not a tit.
Sometimes it leaks sap out like it's trying to lactate, but it's not milk. A tree can't lactate. You can't cum on those trees.
It's sticky. Like cum. Cum. Anything. It's balls.
It's those cum trees. You can't cum on those trees.
Nerdist Podcast Epilogue. In the end, I was able to move the show, and I'll be attending Jonah's wedding. Thanks, Moon Tower, for letting me skip out on the Saturday show and fly back to be with my pal Jonah. Now I don't have to get him a gift. Ha 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 ha! Freeze frame.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
For more than two centuries, the White House has been the stage for some of the most dramatic scenes in American history. Inspired by the hit podcast American History Tellers, Wondery and William Morrow present the new book, The Hidden History of the White House. Each chapter will bring you inside the fierce power struggles, the world-altering decisions, and shocking scandals that have shaped our nation. You'll be there when the very foundations of the White House are laid in 1792, and you'll watch as the British burn it down in 1814. Then you'll hear the intimate conversations between FDR and Winston Churchill as they make plans to defeat Nazi forces in 1941. And you'll be in the Situation Room when President Barack Obama approves the raid to bring down the most infamous terrorist in American history. Pre-order The Hidden History of the White House now in hardcover or digital editions wherever you get your books.